What do those sounds have in common? Those are the sounds of a lost America, an America that may be vanishing before our eyes, so gradually we fail to notice till it's too late. How can that be? Well, if you believe the media, especially social media, which is the de facto media today, the world is more dangerous now than ever before. It's one scary story after another. Epidemics, pandemics, drug cartels, gangs and drive-bys, pedos, human traffickers, pirates, trigger-happy cops, terrorists everywhere, of every imaginable stripe, left-wing, right-wing, Islamic, neo-Nazis, Antifa, traffic fatalities, deadly pesticides, carcinogenics in the water and buildings, clothing, food, in the air we breathe, climate change, global warming, droughts, floods, hurricanes, tornadoes, earthquakes, tsunamis, blizzards, pestilence, grasshoppers just brought Vegas to a standstill. Oh, and the Russians, those Ruskies, fucking with our elections and secretly stockpiling nukes. Same as those Iranians. And oh, those Chaicoms, stealing our IP and dumping their products and manipulating currencies and spying on us with the cell phones they sell us and building up their armies with better railguns than we got. And men, oh men, every male is a rapist or a potential rapist. Don't forget the robbers, grifters, hackers, identity theft crooks, creeps, and bad doctors are making us all opioid junkies. And now, two back-to-back psycho mass shootings just last weekend. Soon, who the fuck is going to leave their house?
The safari park.
You're killing me, Larry.
Hello, Larry.
Hats off to Larry.
Larry. Fucking Larry.
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 Larry. Larry, get into bed now.
Come on, Larry. Larry. Larry.
The 22 killed in an El Paso mall. Betcha mall shopping is trending down. But even without psycho killers, malls are dying at an alarming rate. Maybe that's the fix for the homeless problem. Just fill the abandoned malls with beds and toilets. They already have the food courts. Then another 9 were shot to death in a bar in Dayton. Wonder if there'll be a decline in saloon revenues. Betcha nobody wants to sit with their back to the door. So who even wants to step outside anymore? Way back in the early 90s, some sharp marketers saw this coming, but not to the degree it has reached. They gave it a cutesy poo name, cocooning. Every little Mikey and Mitzi cuddling under their snuggies for Netflix and chill. Ordering from DoorDash and Grubhub. Life lived by mouse click and delivery. The pizza, the Chinese food, every fucking imaginable need filled by Jeff Bezos. Why even stick your head out a window to see if it's raining? Why would you? There's an app for that. What's driving this? Convenience and fear, but in what proportion? Well, if you live in an urban hellhole, and let's face it, most cities have become hellish, it's probably 80% fear, 20% convenience. For those in rural areas, those numbers are flipped. And in the suburbs, it's likely 60-40 with fear in the lead. There has always been fear, and it's always been overblown by fearmongers. Why do people like to amp up fear? Might be to sell you something. Survival gear, a political candidate. How about some freedom-robbing legislation? That's one really fucked byproduct of a populace that's shitting its pants 24/7. And we've just about arrived at that place. All-purpose boogeymen are among the favorite tools of fearmongers. During the Cold War, it was the Soviet Union and nuclear Armageddon. And the message was essentially capitulation or annihilation. So schools, always a fantastic incubator for irrational fear, they staged regular duck and cover rehearsals for when some mad dog commie pushed the infamous button. That button. Then the Soviet Union collapsed, and there was a boogeyman deficit for a while. But now that they've bootstrapped themselves, they're back and better than ever, rigging elections, dispatching mind-controlled agents to fuck up debates, the economy, the weather, give you yeast infections. Their power is limitless. It seems vast numbers of John, and especially Jane Q. Public, love fear, immerse themselves in fear, lube their genitals in fear, and get off on fear. And woe unto he or she who tries to introduce logic or facts in an effort to allay those fears. That lesson was just learned by celebrity astrophysicist Neil deGrasse Tyson. This guy was a bona fide media darling. Everything he said for years was embraced as gospel. Even when he claimed, along with Elon Musk, that it's possible we are all living in a computer simulation, just like the Matrix. Well, if so, I demand Keanu's salary. Tyson's been considered a visionary, an oracle even. But as of a few days ago, his fans put him on the shit list, kicked him to the curb and down a storm drain for one little tweet. Here's what that tweet said, quote, "In the past 48 hours, the USA horrifically lost 34 people to mass shootings." I must stop for a moment and commend Tyson for using the word horrifically instead of tragically. That's a thing for me, huh? People who call murders tragedies, they're not. They're atrocities. Good job, Neil. Then he goes on to list some statistics. He says, on average, across any 48 hours, we also lose 500 to medical errors, 300 to the flu, 250 to suicide, 200 to car accidents, 40 to homicide via handgun. Often our emotions respond more to spectacle than to data. Unquote. I don't know if Tyson's career is dead, but I would guess he'll be seeing a reduction in requests for speaking engagements and book deals and so on. The doctors jumped on him real quick.
What do you mean lost to medical errors? I'm a doctor, and I'm fucking perfect. America worships doctors. I save lives. Fuck you, Astro asshole.
But that was nothing compared to the anti-Second Amendment crowd. We won't go down that rabbit hole here. I already said all I'm going to about the gun issue in bonus episode 2, Larry's Home Invasion, at patreon.com/thatlarryshow. That's in the February 2017 archive. I'd wager Neil's number was way low on those medical errors. Only 500 fatalities in 48 hours? Can the number be that low? It's got to be at least 50% higher, maybe more. Especially now that government's gotten involved, and many doctors are making less money than did their predecessors. Who in their right mind would begrudge doctors making plenty of dough? If some doctor is operating on you, you want him thinking about you, not how he's going to cover his mortgage or car payment. Tyson's intent was probably not to trivialize those shootings, but to put them in perspective. And his word choice was spot on. They are horrific. When we get in the car and buckle that seatbelt, we do it as a hedge against catastrophe. In a fender bender or typical collision, we can expect a measure of protection from airbags and seatbelts. But if you get T-boned by a Kenworth doing 50 miles an hour, you're probably dead. Only an idiot doesn't acknowledge that possibility. But nobody expects to get shot at a goddamn bar. Well, I've been in a few bars where gunplay was kinda common, but still, that's not on anybody's expected risk list. Same as going to Walmart, or a garlic festival, or school. These shootings are hideous. It should stop. Forever. But the shootings are politicized, and the war zone that is Chicago produces way, way more death than these random psycho killings. But the media doesn't want to talk about Chicago. Strictest gun laws in the nation, yet somehow someone gets shot every 3 hours and 10 minutes and gets murdered every 17 hours. They should do a parody of that old Sinatra song, My Kind of Town, with gunfire for percussion and sirens in place of the horn section. So now they call any mass shooting domestic terror. Not sure how that pencils out. A terrorist creates terror to advance a political cause. What was the Sandy Hook shooter's political cause? That he hated mommy and was unhappy that he had a super creepy face? And the patron saint of incels, Elliot Rodger, he killed 7, including himself, because he couldn't get laid. I can see how that made him mad. But where's the political angle there? The current title holder, the Vegas massacre, that Stephen Paddock asshole, what was his political agenda? Now, the El Paso shooter did have a political manifesto, and that's a huge red flag right there. Anyone who writes a manifesto of any kind is a sick fuck and should be put on a watch list. Marx, Engels, Hitler, the Unabomber, Kim Jong-il, even our boy Elliot Rodger. There should be mandatory manifesto registration and background checks on people who write them. Still, psycho killers do succeed in making some people very afraid. And you have to wonder what the repercussions of this will be. My kids are going back to school soon, and I'm just astonished by how many bulletproof backpacks are for sale, along with the conventional ones. They can't manufacture them fast enough to meet demand. Once fear gets a grip, facts and statistics become meaningless. I had a great uncle who was struck by lightning, and I was once within 30 or 40 yards of a strike myself. I was a kid fishing on an old wooden dock on an ocean inlet on the Jersey Shore. I was catching mostly eels and sea robins. Sea robins are wild-looking fish. They have these little legs under their chins, and they can actually walk around on the bottom, which is where they feed. They have wings like a flying fish with spines that'll poke a nice hole in your hand. When you reel them in, they make a damn weird sound, like this. But they're considered trash fish, not very good eating. I was determined to get me a fluke, one of the best-tasting fish in the sea. I had pulled a couple of doormats out of that water before, and I wanted another. Some heavy gray clouds rolled in that afternoon, and I heard some thunder. I knew I should probably go home, but I was maybe 12, and certain I was immortal, and I really, really wanted to take home a fluke when a bolt came down and struck a wooden piling. Holy shit. The terror I felt, along with the smell of the ozone. The piling was splintered and sizzling in pieces on the surface of the water. I hopped on my Stingray bike, like my ass was on fire, and pedaled for home. I left the tackle box, my rod and reel, the bait, the G-trap, everything. So statistics be damned. If I hear thunder in the distance, I get my ass inside. Do I fear lightning more than I should? Maybe. But I don't care. That's how fear works. But I did wonder about it. A person who lives to be 80 years old has a 1 in 3,000 chance of getting hit by lightning. Well, that's a hell of a lot more likely than a lottery win. When you get an unrelenting diet of fear, force-fed to you by your phone and tablet and laptop, how long until it just diffuses into the fiber of your being? It seems that is happening in America. The news cycle is one seamless stream of scary shit. That used to sell newspapers and deliver ratings. Now it gets clicks. So maybe the soundtrack of the new America won't be ball games and traffic for kids playing in a schoolyard. Maybe it will be just this. You think there's an obesity epidemic now? Just wait a few years. There won't be bird scooters on every corner. There'll be rascals and hoverhounds, armor-plated with video cameras sending everything to the cloud for safety's sake. But I digress. The world of fear, it's a sick kind of living death. Regular listeners know I have a thing for doomsday, and I've explored the topic in many ways in many episodes. The usual end of days that movies like to depict, nuclear war, plague, and those apocalyptic scenarios have a certain appeal to many guys. They represent a chance to excel, and not with a fucking spreadsheet. To triumph in a way that no longer exists. To get back to what men used to be. Hunters, warriors, providers, guardians, guides. Many of those roles have been stolen from men by our feminized culture. And what hasn't been stolen has been denigrated by assholes of either sex. We never say gender here. Those who call masculinity toxic. There's an old quotation that says when the world ends, it will be with a whimper, not a bang. For sure, that's how a fear-obsessed world will self-destruct. Slowly, quietly, without explosives or even fanfare. Or maybe without some cataclysm to have the world's population, the timid new world, will resemble the future world of H.G. Wells' masterpiece, The Time Machine. Two races of people, Eloi and Morlocks. The Eloi were weak and ruled by fear and essentially became livestock for the Morlocks. They provided everything for them, same as cattle, and then devoured them. Hey, that's a lot like socialism. The elites give the proles everything, which very quickly transforms them into slaves. I can see that. The digis and the logs. The digitals would be the Eloi, and the analogs would be the Morlocks. The analogs have the balls to live outside in the real world of ubiquitous risk. But in that world, a world no longer shackled and emulsified by digi influence, you can hop on a plane like Don Draper. There is no TSA. There's plenty of empty seats, hot-looking stewardesses who smile and pamper you. You can go to college without Title IX tyranny, nor PC culture, and safe spaces. You can drink beer and liquor at 18, from bottles devoid of cancer warnings, because if you're old enough to drink, you should be smart enough to know it's not real good for your health. Plastic bags and pool floats don't have 5,000 words worth of instructions and legal disclaimers on them. Seatbelts are optional. So are helmets. Cashiers don't ask for ID unless you look like a kid. All transactions are cash. There's a bounty on security cameras. Every one you smash or disable gets you a $50 coupon redeemable at any Hooters. Plastic straws are just fine. And all jokes are okay, regardless of subject matter. The only bad joke is an unfunny one. The logs drive the trucks and farm the fields and run the power plants and keep supply lines open and full for the digis so they never have to leave their safe homes and take any risks, with one small caveat. Once they declare themselves digis, they cannot leave their homes, ever. If they do, a bomb collar locked around their necks will explode, literally blowing their heads off. In that future world, there are no lines at airports or supermarkets or ski lifts. Overcrowding is a thing of the past. The risk takers can once again live free, and the fearful can live risk-free. Soon, the digis will die off. Women may tend to be more risk-averse than men, but they'll still prefer alpha males, which will be the logs. The digis, though, can have unlimited porn and sex robots. Hey, maybe that future world is brighter than we thought. Last episode, I promised to reveal why I never drink tap beer, and the reason is, Those suds have to travel a long way through those lines from the keg to the tap. And over time, those hoses get clogged with yeast and bacteria. Ugh. And it will damn well give you a headache and skunk even beer in a fresh keg. When I was a bartender, a guy once came in to snake those lines, and I was amazed by what he pulled out of them. The color and texture of it was like cheese. It was disgusting. So whenever possible, have your brewski from a can or a bottle. Tap beer sucks. Hey, thanks for hanging with me once again. I'll be back in a day or three with a bonus episode, which will feature an amazing true story featuring me, a supermodel with epilepsy, a psychotic drunk, two cops, and some hyper-violence set in a famous Chinese restaurant in New York City. Quentin Tarantino could not have dreamed up this true-life tale. Slide over to thatlarryshow.com for more comment and commentary. Don't forget to hit a subscribe button so you never miss an episode. And until next time, fear not and take no shit.